Light of the world, you step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. King of all days, so high. Glorious in heaven above, humbly you came to this earth you created, all for love's sake became poor. And here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me. You're wonderful to me. Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust you more. Oh, sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust his cleansing blood, and in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing, cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust you, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace to trust you more. I'm so glad I learned to trust thee, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me till the trust you, how I proved you o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, all for grace to trust you more. Lift up your hands to the coming King. Bow to His Majesty. Let all praises be pure and holy, giving glory to the newborn King. Lift up your hands to the coming. Are you ready? Bow before Him and adore Him, sing to His Majesty. Let all praises be pure and holy, giving glory to this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you, and without you, this is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily bread. Your very word spoken to me, and I'm desperate for you. Without you, I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you. I'm desperate for you. I'm lost without you.
Aren't you grateful for Jesus this morning? We're lost without him. We're desperate for him. And I can tell you, if you're not desperate for him in this hour, something's wrong. Lots going on in the world today. People pulling out guns at Dunkin' Donuts in Indian Town. Chaos. So glad to have you this morning at Family Worship Center with us. New faces, familiar faces. Can we just give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning? Aren't you glad? Amen. Glad to be in the house of the Lord. Glad to be serving Jesus with you in this hour. It's necessary, amen, to serve Jesus all day, every day. The enemy of our souls wants us to quit. He wants us to stop. He wants us to pull back. He wants to make us weary in well-doing. He wants to hinder our ability to have patience and to have love and to have grace, not just with the world and lost people, but with each other. And so we must fight. We must fight by the grace of God, not in our own strength, but we must run to God and encourage God to empower us by his Holy Spirit. Because without God, none of us can stand in this hour. None of us can stand in this day. If you think America's doing great right now, I'm sorry, we're not. But it's not just America, it's the world. The world isn't standing on its own. We are plummeting into darkness in the world, and it's all around us. I mean, it has gotten crazy, the things you hear about in today's news. I mean, stuff just 10 years ago were unfathomable. I mean, think about it. I mean, 10 years ago, if you'd have heard what you heard on the news, there'd be uprisings. There would be lots of chaos going on within the church. But as you see, the church has grown silent in the day. In light of all that's gone on, I'm not talking about insurrections. I'm not talking about marching with our guns somewhere. I'm talking about standing up and standing on the foundations of Christ and saying, you know what? You may allow that to march in your home, but that don't march in ours. That may march in your community, but we're not going to stand by and let it march in our community. We stand for Christ. And you know, the numbers for Christians in voting is staggering. That Christians just believe it doesn't matter that they vote, that their voices don't matter in elections, and that's not true. Or they believe by voting for one candidate or another that they're not serving God adequately. But this country was founded on the principles of Christ, the Word of God, where our voices mattered, not from the top to the bottom, but from the bottom to the top. And our voice does matter. What we believe in does matter. What we accept for Christ matters. And so I have a message today that I want to entitle, that I'm going to entitle. I'm going to entitle this message today, "You're Closer Than You Think." You're closer than you think. Now, keeping political sides out of it, I just want you to know that this election matters for America. Amen? I don't care who you're voting for. Doesn't matter to me. I believe you should vote Bible. Amen? But I'm going to tell you this. No matter who gets into office, and this is a true reality, whoever does not stand with Israel is moving the time needle so much closer to the rapture of Jesus' church, to the judgment of the world for the lost. You understand that, right? The Word of God is very clear that when the second, not the second coming of Christ, but the return of Christ to take his bride away comes, is when all the world has turned against Israel. Amen? That's in your Bible. That's prophecy. It says that the second coming of Jesus is going to be coming to the Valley of Armageddon, where Jesus' feet are going to touch down on Mount Carmel, and the armies of the Lord will be with him, and the sword from his mouth will cut down Every army that stands against Israel, everything that stands against Israel in that time is going to be slaughtered. So much so that I don't know if anybody's been to Israel, to the Valley of Armageddon at the base of Mount Carmel. That place is huge. But it says that there will be such a slaughter on that day that the blood will be so much that it'll be up to the bridle of the horses that Jesus and his army are riding on. That's how much blood is going to be. That's how many deaths are going to come in the war against Israel and Christ. Amen? So it's imperative for us to know that we are very, very close. No matter how this election turns out, it doesn't matter in a sense to the spiritual timeline, other than if our nation turns against Israel, it is simply pushing the timeline just that much closer for the return of Christ. We understand that, right? You may have thought you had time, but we don't. We don't have time. You may have thought pleasantries and niceties were still available to us, and they're not. The clock is ticking faster right now than it ever has before. The church that came in the new covenant waited for this day. That they were waiting for this day that we're living in right now, which was the coming of Christ, the rapture of the church of God. That's what they came in with. We are awaiting the promise that Jesus is going to return and take his church away. Folks, we're living in the hours of that prophecy today. Because I don't know if you know this, but the world hates Israel. They hate them. Most of our country hates Israel. I mean, all of the marches, all of the walkouts, all that stuff for Palestinians and all this stuff, death to Israel from the river to the sea. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that the Palestinian people are just these evil, demonic people. No, they're just people. They're people that need Jesus. And there's plenty of Jews that need Jesus. Israel needs Jesus. But I want you to know, on the prophetic clock, the moment that the world decides that it wants to annihilate Israel is the moment that the sky is going to burst forth and Jesus is going to break in on the scene and answer the very thing that he said he would do. And so there is not a lot of time for us as Christians to do the work and the will of God in our life. There's not. So it's necessary for us in this time and in this season. And I know what crowd I'm... I had a good friend of mine. He was a preacher. And I remember preaching at this church. And this was an old church. And this church had been there for years. And the people had been there for years. And I came in and I preached a message on sin and salvation. And afterwards, the preacher came to me and he said, "You got to know who you got to know the crowd you're preaching to." Well, just a month later, a lot of what I preached came to fruition, and that church split because sin was in the church. People weren't even saved, sitting in positions. Messed all that up. I know who I'm preaching to this morning, not because I showed up to preach to you, but because I have a witness of the Holy Spirit in me that knows what hour we're in, that knows the nature of people. Not me, I don't know those things, but the Spirit of God does. And by the grace of God, he influences our hearts to understand it, to know the times and the season that we're in. That's what Jesus said would happen when we got born again. The Spirit would come, and we would recognize the times and the seasons. And he said, "And when you see these things, look to the east, for your redemption draws nigh." You remember him saying that? And so now, let the witness of the Holy Spirit in this church and each individual Christian recognize that the clock is ticking down. The hourglass is at the bottom of the sand for Christians. If you have loved ones that don't know Christ, now is the time to forsake all niceties and pleasantries and love them ferociously. Minister to them zealously. Don't wait any longer. Now's not the time to wait any longer. If you know somebody that doesn't know Christ, don't put it off. Don't allow your flesh and fear to win in this hour, because this hour is not long. Christ is coming back for a bride that's made herself ready. And I'm telling you, folks, I want to make people ready. I want to let people know that without Jesus, they're going to hell. That's love, folks. That is love. To walk by a burning house and see someone on the second story and try to be polite about it is not love. Now, I'm not talking about ministering without love and patience and grace. That's not what I'm talking about. Don't be ugly to people. But in your love and in your zeal for the reality of the times, you let them know your house is burning down and you're going to perish with it if you're not careful. Get out while you can. That should be the message of today. The world's on fire. Get out while you can, folks. They're going to be left here. A third is going to be licked up by plagues. A third is going to be eaten up by creatures and animals. And a third is going to die because the water's going to be taken out of the earth. It's just going to evaporate like that. There's going to be judgment on the earth, and people are going to be left to that. And we call it love, that we don't hurt someone's feelings by just telling them the truth about Jesus. What's hurting someone's feelings about saying Jesus loves you? And we were all born into sin. You're no different than what I was, but I found something in Christ. What's wrong about doing that to someone? Now, if they look at you and go, I don't care about none of that stuff, you keep that religious trash and rhetoric to yourself, let them say whatever they want to. But it was love in me that compelled me to them, to not let them go to hell without hearing, without knowing. Amen? Philippians chapter 3. I want to share some of these scriptures with you. Philippians chapter 3, we're going to start in verse 12, but I want to give you the overview of what Philippians 3 is talking about. Philippians 3 is being written by Paul to the church in Philippi, and he's expressing to them how they need to continue in the way that was taught to them by the apostles, by Paul himself. The gospel that was preached to you should be unhindered. It should be unadulterated. And there was Judaizers that were coming into their congregation and trying to convince them to add some stuff to their religion, add some stuff to their faith. They were wanting these new Gentile believers to be circumcised into the faith, and then they would be saved. They were trying to add to the gospel and say, what Jesus did wasn't enough. You have to do a little bit of this in your flesh too. You have to be great and good in your flesh too. Then you'll be righteous with God. Well, Paul was saying, these people are dogs. I'm not saying that. You read just a few verses in chapter 3. He said, these people are dogs. That's what they called false prophets back in the day. They called them dogs. It says that not only that they're dogs, but beware of them because they're mutilators. Folks, there is an unbelievable amount of false prophecies out there today that talk about prosperity, that they talk about five things to a better you in Jesus Christ. All of this, while the world is burning down around, it's all self-focused to make me feel good while the world is collapsing. But those prophecies, these new things that are coming in, they don't get to trump what Jesus has already said. That the times are going to wax worse and worse and worse. That you are going to be turned over again and again and again to sorrow and to trouble and to persecution. Just the mention of Jesus' name is going to bring death on you. It's going to bring death on your children because of the proclamation of Christ's name in your mouth. He wasn't talking about just in the beginning of the church. He was talking as the church grows in me, in this world, there is going to be trial and tribulation. There is going to be troubled times, and it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And as Christians, we get tired of trouble. As human beings, we get tired of weariness and weakness and struggle. We get tired of fighting the devil. And that's what makes it so easy when these Judaizer dogs, these mutilators of the gospel come in and they say, you can just take a break. Why don't you just focus on you? The world doesn't need what... Your voice is great, but why don't you just take a break and relax from this for a little bit? Folks, the enemy's trying to rob you of God's will in your life to persevere in this time. Because how many of you know what we go through as Christians in this world is working for us a glory in heaven, rewards in heaven. That's what it's working for us. So as the enemy wants to seek in and put you on your heels, the Spirit of God is coming in and trying to put you on the offensive. Don't grow weary in these times. Well, that's easy for you to say. I got this and I got this and I got this. We all have it. Every one of us are going through it in some kind of way. Every one of us are living in this world in its fallen state right now. And I'll tell you, if it was up to us to not grow weary, we wouldn't make it. But it's not on us. It is on Jesus. It's on Jesus to embolden us, to strengthen us, to encourage us. It's on Jesus to do that. But how do we get those things from Jesus? Well, I can tell you, if I'm not constantly being intimate with Jesus, if I'm not constantly trying to be present with Jesus, what he has to give me is not going to change hands. If Brother Lorenzo, who's in the back of the church, says, I've got a $100 bill for you, Pastor Rafe, that's all fine and good. But if I never go back there and take it from him, it's not really mine. You understand? I can't go to the store later and go, well, Brother Lorenzo's holding the bill for me, so I want to buy this stuff at the register. They're not going to accept that. That's just a simple reality, a physical understanding to show you that we must be constant in our relationship with Jesus, wanting to be close to him, to receive from him the things. I can tell you, if you're distant from Jesus, you're not going to be able to get anything from him. His hands are full of blessing and strength and encouragement, and he's wanting to give it to you. But we are off from him. A lot of times, Jesus, don't you know how busy I am? I don't have time to pray. Don't you know how tired I am? Don't you know what I've been doing this week? I don't have time to lift my hands in worship. I don't have all these things that are going to put me closer to you. There's no sacrifice in the Christian anymore because we've been bewildered and bewitched by these false prophet dogs that say, well, you don't have to do this, or you have to do this, or this. No, folks, this is how we get to him. Exactly how he says to come, that's how we must come. Exactly how he says to receive, that's exactly how we must receive. Exactly how he says to worship, that's exactly how we worship. And that's not works in us. That's not works unto salvation. That is children coming to a father. Amen. I remember being a kid. My parents never asked me for grocery money, ever. It was always in the fridge. But I can tell you, if I sat on the couch and I said, hey, mom, grab me this. Hey, dad, grab me that. They'd say, get up and get it yourself. You know where it is. Go get it. Folks, there's no question about where Jesus is in our life. We know exactly where we left him. The question is why in these times where we're empty, when we're weak, are we not running to him? Receiving from him the things that we desperately need. I can tell you, a lot of it's pride, a lot of it's fear, a lot of it's our flesh saying that I can get through one more day. No, you can't, because we may not have another day. Folks, don't let some off voice, some crazy spokesperson for whatever religion or tradition, whatever that is, don't let them convince you that there's some better way. There is no better way to get to Jesus than exactly what Jesus said to do. Amen? And there's a lot of it right now, and it's all by design, by the Antichrist spirit, to weaken the church of Jesus Christ so that we see the very things that are happening in the world around us. I want you to know, these things didn't happen by accident. The enemy is working just as hard as the Spirit of God is working to be triumphant in this day and this age. And folks, we can be manipulated like chess pieces on a chessboard. We just got to decide who's going to move us. We're going to let our flesh move us? We're going to let the enemy move us? Or are we going to let God move us? Those are real things that we have to take into account daily. Well, how do I know who's moving me? Well, when's the last time you've talked to Jesus? Is your life going in the direction that Jesus has asked your life to go into? And if it's not, I can guarantee you it's not Jesus moving you in that direction. It's probably your flesh. Folks, I know this is kind of basic stuff, but I'm telling you, if we don't get back to foundational truths in Christ, any wind is going to blow us in this last day and age. They're talking in Philippians, and these are founded Christians under Paul's teaching. But while Paul was away, some other teachers came in and they taught something else. And these Philippians, they believed it. Can you imagine being one of the Philippians there when Paul wrote this letter back and was like, hey, you don't have to be circumcised under Jesus. And he was like, what? I had to do this terrible thing? And I didn't even have to do it? Folks, some of you are living in tragedies in your life because some religious organization or some puffed up false prophet has said, do this, this, or this. And you're sitting in the repercussion of that and you're going, I didn't have to do any of this to receive what they said I had to receive. Folks, that's not God's fault. That's our fault for not taking what we hear from man and going to the Word of God and making sure that's what it says. And folks, in the last hour, the Bible says that many will be deceived. They'll be deceived. You go, how is that even possible? How can the elect be deceived? I can tell you why. Because the enemy makes you tired of reading this. It makes it easier to look it up on TikTok or YouTube. Let somebody else tell you what it says. It's easier to do that. But be careful. Because they're men. And sometimes they do it ignorantly, but sometimes they do it on purpose. They're deceiving you. So the Word of God is necessary in this hour to make sure that what I believe in is the true Jesus. The true Jesus, not the Baptist Jesus, not the Catholic Jesus, not the Pentecostal Jesus, not the Lutheran Jesus, not the Protestant Jesus, but the Jesus of the Bible. Because there's a lot of Jesuses being preached out there. Jesus warned about that. He said, in that day, he said, they're going to be in the market and they're going to say, come to the market and we'll tell you about the Lord. And then another group will say, no, come to the mountain and we'll worship him over there. And another will say, no, come to the temple and we'll worship him over there. And he says, don't go with any of them because they're not leading you to me. It's a form of Jesus. They add Jesus' name on it, but they're worshiping something that's not me. So be careful who you follow. That's what they're saying. Oh, my Jesus is on the mountain. Come with me. I'll show you how my Jesus is. Folks, we as believers have to go, it's not what it says. I'm sorry, friend, but you've believed on something not right. And you better be careful what you're believing on because he's coming soon. Amen? Philippians 3, verse 12, it says, not that I have already attained this, talking about the grace of God, the understanding fully of all the things of God. Not that I've already attained this. I'm not perfect. But I press on. And that's what I'm encouraging us this morning. Because listen, we're all fallible. We've all believed on something silly. We've all walked in ways that aren't the ways of Christ, whether that be sin, flesh, temptation, whether that just been religion. Anybody been blindly led away by religion? I have. I've followed under some things traditionally and religiously that weren't Jesus. And then thank God he hit me upside my head and was just like, hey, buddy, you better wake up. You're on the rumble strip over here. You're not in the way. I'm going, oh, I got to get back to this word. I got to know what's right. I got to know who he is. We have to press on. We have to press through these troubles that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example, and note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you, even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. All those people that tried to come in and change the gospel on you, to add something to it or take it away, they don't realize it, but they're enemies of the cross. That's what Paul's saying. They've preached some other gospel, but really they think they're good and they think they're right and they're passionate about what they believe in, but they're enemies of the cross. They're not in the way that we are in. And that's what Paul said. He said, you need to look at us as examples, not just himself, but the apostles, those who walked with Jesus, those who were witnesses and hearers of the mighty works of God. He said, there's been people that have come before us that we know were of God. And you can lean on their example. You can look at their life. You know how you can look at their life? They wrote it down for you under the unctioning of the Holy Spirit. They wrote it down for you that we might not be persuaded in some other way. Whose end is destruction, whose God, this is 19, whose God is their belly and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven. Somebody just underscore that right there. Just underline that in Bible. Your citizenship is not here. Don't get comfy. Believe it or not, we're about to be evicted from this place, this earth. They won't let you take your toothbrush where we're going. Be ready. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about at this point in time, it's time to focus. Now, I'm not talking about quitting your jobs. I'm not talking about forsaking your bills. That's not what I'm talking about. You better make it right in your heart, because the time is near. It's nearer now than it's ever been, that in the twinkling of an eye, we're going to be caught up out of this earth. And no man knows the day, and no man knows the hour. I'll tell you, I hope it's on a Sunday. I hope it's on a Sunday when everyone's in church. Because as we're getting caught up, you know what's going to be sad? There's going to be a lot of people left in seats. It's sad, but it's going to be a real wake-up call for a lot of people who put their hope in things that were not Jesus. What Paul said, he said, I push on towards my reward. Do you know what our prize is? Our prize is Jesus. People think heaven's our reward. I'll tell you, if heaven didn't have Jesus in it, I don't think I'd want to go. I want Jesus. Heaven didn't save me. Jesus did. Amen. I want to be with him. Heaven didn't give me all these rewards. Jesus did. Heaven's not given me anything yet. Jesus has. He's our reward. We're going to be reunited with him. Verse 20, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2. I'm going to just kind of go through these really quickly for time's sake. It says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. If there's something bogging you down from getting to Jesus, you better get rid of it. Because as the water rises in this earth and in life, those things that are bogging you down from floating to the top to get to Jesus, they're going to drown you. They're going to drown you spiritually. It wants to, folks, the Antichrist spirit wants to kill the life of Christ in the church, in its individual members, in its corporate ability to love others. The church is dead in many, many places in the Western world. Do you know why that is? Because the cares of everything else has weighed the Christian down to the point where the Christian looks like everybody else, depressed, anxious, and hopeless. What's the point of being a Christian? You look just like me. You don't have freedom. You don't have liberty. You don't have joy. You don't have victory. Folks, whatever is weighing us down, now's the time to shed it. Now's the time to throw it aside, right? That's what 12:1 is telling us. Shed every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Get rid of it. Let us run with endurance. Folks, now's not the time to be weak in our flesh. Now's the time to run to Jesus and say, God, strengthen me now. God, strengthen me now. If there was ever a time I needed to run, Jesus, today is the day. I've got to run to everyone that don't know. I've got to run to my house. I've got to run to my kids. I've got to run to everyone that doesn't know you. And I'm telling you, I'm tired. My body's tired. My mind's tired. My spirit's tired. It's by design of the world, by the enemy, to make us tired. But he says, we got to shuck those things off. We've got to shed them and ask God by his grace to empower us to run. So run the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was the greatest example of this, that Jesus in his flesh never could have obtained the cross. He never could have endured all that he went through. He couldn't do that in his flesh. But you remember the Garden of Gethsemane? If it be your will, take it from me. But if it is your will, do your will in my life. And you know what one of the gospel says? It says an angel of the Lord came down in his weakest moment and touched him and strengthened him. And he was able to endure the cross for us. Folks, our flesh is not able to do it. We need the Lord. We need him. We need moments like this of sobriety where we say, man, this world is trying to wear me out. I need clarity in Jesus. I need strength in Jesus. I need an altar to fall in so that my cup can be filled up, that I can go on in this earth. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 through 7, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, which means that if we be in Christ, that everything that was given to Jesus to endure the flesh and the hardship of this life, it's ours. We just need to reach out and take it from God. His hands are ready to give it to us, but we as a people, we must get back to him and receive it. I don't know what that means for you. I can tell you prayer helps me. Intimate alone time with God helps me get to those places to endure. Matthew 11, 12 says this, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Can I get an amen right there? Amen. I'm telling you, from the days of John, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. We do. The life of Christ is going to suffer violence in the world. The world hates Jesus. But listen to this, and the violent take it by force. You know what that means? Matthew Henry's commentary says that. It says the kingdom of heaven will not suffer quitters. That if the world is going to fight, then the Christian must fight. We must fight to allow Jesus to continue to live in us, in our homes, in our churches, in our communities, in our nation, in every aspect of our life. We have to fight the devil. We have to fight the darkness. We have to fight against it. How do we do that? Go to God. Run to him. Run to him. I just preached this. Grace fights for us. We humble ourselves before God and say, do your will in me. Do your will in my family. Do your will in my home. Do your will. We'll get out of the way. Just do it. Hallelujah. Just do it. Let God fight for us. We're so busy fighting each other and fighting everybody else. Humble yourself and say, I don't know what the heck to do. I don't know where to go. I don't know what investment to make in this situation. All I know to do is to get to God, and God will get us through. Amen? Galatians 6, verse 7. It says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Folks, now's not the time to grow weary. Now's not the time to give up and throw our hands up and say, you know what, the hour's too dark. My kids are too far gone. My grandkids, God help them, this generation. Now's not the time to be throwing that kind of language around as Christians. Now's the time to say, there has never been a better time for God to glorify himself. There's never been a greater time for the church to stand up and pray and invite God back. There's no greater time than now. It's the end, folks. It's the end. I want you to know this. Maybe you have this in your heart. I'm going to get to heaven one day, and I want to go talk to Paul and Peter and John and Jay. I'm going to go talk to them. What was it like? What was it like walking with Jesus? What was it like seeing miracles at the hands of God? What was it like seeing Jesus crucified and resurrected? What was it like when tongues of fire fell upon you? But you know what the reality of it is? Those folks that we're wanting to see so bad, they're going to run to the gate. As we enter in, they're going to say, what was it like to see Jesus return? What was it like to see the end time revival when everything was dark? What was it like to see the light of God again in the earth? Folks, God has purposed us for this time and season, that we be like those great people, those great men and women of God. That's what we're here for in this season, to do the works and the will of God just as they did it. Hebrews 12, since we be surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses. You know what that means? Since we have such a lineage in the faith. Since we have all the prophets in the faith. Since we have all the apostles in the faith that came before us, that handed it down to us. Let us not grow weary now. They ran to pass the baton to me. And now it's in my hand. Let me not fail them. They went to their crosses. They went to their tortures. They went to their torments, all proclaiming Jesus. Let us not now unravel. Let us now not be afraid in this season in life, God. Whatever you did in them, God, do it in me, that we not fail. Because we're closer than you think. I know it's 12 o'clock, but give me just a few minutes, amen. I want to read a story to you. This is not a spiritual story, but it is a true story. And has anyone ever heard of Florence Chadwick? Anybody ever heard of Florence Chadwick? She's a woman who decided to attempt the 26-mile swim between the California coastline and the Catalina Island. She'd have been the first woman ever to do it. In 1952, a woman named Florence Chadwick decided to attempt the 26-mile swim between the California coastline and Catalina Island. And during her swim, Chadwick traveled with a team whose job it was to keep an eye out for sharks and be prepared to assist in the event of unexpected cramps, injury, or fatigue. Roughly 15 hours into her swim, a thick fog began to set and clouding Chadwick's vision. And confidence. Her mother happened to be in one of the boats at the time as Chadwick relayed to her team that she didn't think that she could swim or complete it. She swam for another hour before deciding to call it quits. As she sat in the teetering boat, she discovered if she just continued on for another mile, she would have reached Catalina Island. Folks, we can look back in this Bible and it seems so clear, the years that the gospel's been handed down from generation to generation. But as it's gotten to us, it almost seems like a cloud has fallen around us. It's discombobulating. It's hard to figure out which direction to go sometimes. But I'll tell you, it's set in to bring confusion, to hinder our sight of what's just ahead. I was reading her testimony as she was giving after this was all over. And her word said, if I could have only seen the shore, I would have kept swimming. If I could have only seen the shore, I would have kept swimming. Folks, I know it's dark. I know it's clouded, but I can see heaven. I can see the shores of that celestial city. I know it's dark, but I see it. And I wish you could see it with me, that you know that now's not the time to give up. We're closer than you know. We're closer than you've thought. The enemy wants to hinder us. He wants to cloud it. But know this, we're right around the corner from glory. Let's not give up now. Let's not give up now. You don't have to give up on your loved ones. You don't have to give up on our community. We don't have to give up. I can tell you, we're all tired. Our muscles are tense. They're cramping. We're dehydrated, it seems, but it's just beyond the clouds. You won't regret it. You won't regret it. John 14:3 says this, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Romans 13:11 says this, "And do this knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make the provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts." Will you stand all over the church this morning? I'm torn because of time. I want to have an altar service. Amen. I want us to come together as the body of Christ and pray for one another, to pray for the season that we're living in. And I also want to take communion. Amen. Can we just give the Lord 10 more minutes? It's 12:05. Can we give the Lord 10 more minutes to just be in his presence and say, "You know what, God, I need you. I am tired." Anybody tired? I'm tired. I'm tired of turning on the news. It exhausts my brain to see the reality of life on the news and what our world is going in. I'm exhausted on the daily basis of people calling me and explaining to me the tragedies of their life, because this world is cruel. It wears me down. It makes me feel hopeless at certain moments. I'll tell you one thing right now, all that does and all its truth is it pushes me down to my knees and to Jesus to ask him, "Please come. If you don't do it, nobody will. If you can't do it, it can't be done, Jesus. But I come to you and I lay it before you. Do your will in my life. Do your will in my life." Folks, I'm going to see those gates one day. I'm going to see them. You know what my prayer is? My prayer used to be, "Lord, just let me get to heaven. I know I'm going to heaven now." You know what my prayer is now? "God, let my hands be full of as many people as I can bring with me." Folks, it's time to grab onto somebody and take them to the Lord. It's time for the church to rise one more time these last days. You really don't know how close we are. We're close. I wouldn't even say years. We could be moments at this point, because God knows what's going to happen. Can we come as a body? Take one another by the hand down here. If you want to pray as an individual, you're welcome to. But can we as a body of believers just come to the altars together, lay hands on one another, encourage one another, invite Jesus to stand with us? Come on, you don't have to wait till I'm done talking. I see you itching to get down here. I'm glad. I'm glad you're wanting to get down here. Folks, I'm going to get down here too. I need it. I need it so desperately. The hour is so dark. My heart is so burdened for the times that we're living in. And as soon as we get done praying, I ask you just to go back to your seats and stand. We're going to pass out communion. I don't believe there's any greater way to end the service today than that, to remember why we're even here, because of that broken body and that shed blood. The only way we've made it all the way up to this point has been because of that broken body and that shed blood. It's the hope of Christ every day. So as you come, if you don't make it up here, I just ask you that you lift your hands forward, pray with us, amen, as we pray. Everybody got somebody? Let's go to the Lord. Father, only you know the time and the hour, Lord Jesus. But you made us very aware, God, by your scripture and your word about the times and the seasons of when, God, we should be running and making sure our oil is full. When we should be going out, God, and warning the world that the conclusion of things is coming. And Father, here we are today, Lord Jesus, recognizing that truth, that you are coming soon, Jesus, sooner now than ever before. Israel is on its heels. People are shouting for the genocide of the Jews. We know that you are going to answer the prophetic word that you said that you would step in when that time came. And Father, we know that tribulation is right around the corner, God, but I believe with my whole heart, Lord, you're coming to get your bride before the judgment. Whatever we must go through in this season of life, God, whatever struggle or weariness or darkness that we have to walk in this season, whatever cloud descends upon us, Lord God, I pray that you encourage every mind here and every heart that the shoreline is just beyond our reach. It's so close now, Lord God. Father, if any hearts here saying, man, I'm ready to just get out. I'm ready to get up out of this water. Father, I pray that you encourage them, strengthen them. Give us the grace to walk, Lord God, in this troubled time, Lord God. Father, only you can do it. Let us not have a testimony of Florence, Lord God, where she said, if I could have only seen the shore. Let that not be our heart today, Lord God. Thank you for those that have come before us. Thank you for those that have paved a way, Lord God, that passed the baton to us. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, Jesus. Let us not quit now for the gospel's sake when we're so close to heaven. Father, we pray for every family member, Lord, every friend, every neighbor. We pray for this community. We pray for our nation, Lord God, and the elections, God. Your name needs to be proclaimed, God, from the highest of heights. All over this world, God, I pray that it's being done. And God, if it's not being done, will you send us? Will you encourage us, Lord God, to do so? We all come here to you, Jesus, God, humbling ourselves, knowing we have tried hard to do it on our own, but we've come up empty, Jesus. We've come up tired. We need your help. We submit today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. If you go back to your seats, have our ushers come by and we'll take communion together. Remember the Lord, amen. We get to remember him not because he's gone, but for what he's done, amen. You guys can go ahead and pass it out, and then we'll pray together and take communion. Amen. Aren't you glad to know Jesus? Folks, it's hell without him. Amen. It's too tense of a moment to tell that joke, I guess. Get right or get left. Amen. I do encourage us today. I pray you're encouraged by this message today. I genuinely do. I pray that you're encouraged to remember I pray the Lord puts people on your heart that work with you, that you see daily, to not let them walk by without grabbing them by the arm and saying, do you know that Jesus loves you? Do you know that Jesus has died and rose again for your sake? Now's the time, folks. I'm telling you, it's the time. As Paul said, the time has come and it is now high time. We have to wake up. I'd like to say on behalf of my family as well, for Pastor Appreciation Month, just everyone who's given, thank you so much. We feel so appreciated. To hear that testimony that it was prophesied over me to be a pastor, folks, I would have never chose this for myself. But I'm so grateful to God that He's chosen me. Amen. I'm so grateful not only that He chose me to the office, but He chose me to this church, in this community. And I pray that me and my family do it its due diligence. Amen. I pray that you know that we love you and we're grateful for you and we love this community. And we're not willing to stand by and let not one perish without the gospel of Jesus. I pray you know that about us. So thank you so much, church, for all that you've given. If you can get your communion cup open, go ahead and open it. If you're here on prayer meeting nights, you know what we're talking about. We find some that are sealed tight. They don't want to be open. But if you'll go ahead and open them and you'll take the bread, amen, and break it. Jesus, when he had gathered his disciples, took the bread and he broke it. And he passed it each to one that was sitting with him. And he said, this signifies my body, which will be broken for you. Take it and eat. And likewise, he picked up the cup, and he said, this cup signifies my blood that's going to be shed for you for the remission of sin. Take it and drink. Father, as we come today and we do this in remembrance of you, I pray our hearts are pricked. I pray our minds are awoken, God. Our spirits are awoken to the reality of where we all are right now in this present moment. That, Father, we run to you. We lean on you, God, that your strength be made perfect in our weakness and that this world might come to you, Jesus, before it falls to judgment. We need you, Jesus, more than we've ever needed you before. Help us. Help us as individuals. Help our families. Help our community. Help our nation. Help this world. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for trusting us with your Sunday morning. Enjoy the rest of your day and week. Amen. God bless you.